You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. It's going to be a beautiful day. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. And of course, if it ain't, you're going to get it done anyway. Because we appreciate you for your tenacity, for your stick-to-itiveness, for your commitment to always trying to do your best. Appreciate you. Brothers and sisters, you are listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives, timeforanawakening.com. Look for the podcast information, click on that, and African Perspectives, and there those programs will be. They're dated and titled and might be a little synopsis and so forth, trying to get it together so we can be a radio program on and a network, Time for an Awakening, which is on Black Talk Radio Network, which is on TuneIn. Something that when you tune in to this program, you're going to get good information about the things that we as African people need to do for ourselves with each other. That's right. Other programs we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Immediately following this program on Monday and Wednesday, the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3 on Monday and Wednesday. Monday evening, all times are going to give our Eastern times. Monday evening is Acres of Diamonds, Brother Wahad, with Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming, Brother Wahad. Had a good chance. I met him in Philly at the Locks Conference. Good brother. Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. After Let's Buy Black 365 is Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesday, this evening, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy. Relationships with Joy and Troy is at 7 p.m. on Thursdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's Time for an Awakening. Get ready. Time for an Awakening on Fridays, 8 p.m., and that's with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. You know it. It's not me. It is Sister POC, her program Revive on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m. is Time for an Awakening. Once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. it's the Warm Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. Well, but my good brother Bomani Tahembe, well, I'm going to say that because I didn't usually do that first. I don't know how I did that. But don't worry about it. We got this under control. See, we're running this. That's right. We Buy Black, WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. Of course, it is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Go there and get all your needs. And, of course, everything that is sold on the website is produced by us. And if you don't want to go online and do that and you're in the Atlanta area, then you can stop by the Greenbrier Mall, located right off of Georgia Highway 166, right off of Interstate 285. Wherever how you want to go, you can go right off of 7585 and hit Georgia 166 and take you right there to the Greenbrier Mall, where you can pick up the laundry detergent, soaps, you can pick up toothpaste, toothbrushes, razors, all kinds of good stuff, towel sets, lotions, deodorant, all of that. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tahembe. Brother Bomani Tahembe. And he's going to the motherland next month, November 22nd to December 2nd, going to Johannesburg, South Africa, and Cape Town, South Africa. And then at the end of December, December 24th through January 4th, 2020, he's going to Ghana, West Africa once again. Go to his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, or give my good brother Bomani Tahembe a call at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located here in the West End here in Atlanta, the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Store hours are Wednesday, today through Saturday, 12 to 7, and on Sunday from 1 to 3. They are closed Mondays and Tuesdays, and they have everything. They got furniture. They got artwork. They got clothing. They got the red, black, and green shoes in the gas shoe line. They got Kwanzaa kits. They got those Kwanzaa candles, y'all. You better hurry up and go there to the shrine. You know Kwanzaa's coming up, and you're probably going to need some Kwanzaa candles. They also have an African Holocaust Museum. Also, too, they have a history program, an African history program, Know Thyself, Baba Olatunji, the instructor, every Saturday, free and open to the public from 1:30 to 3:30. Every Saturday and free and open to the public from 1:30 to 3:30. But if you can't attend that, but you want that information, you want it on hand, you can get the multimedia library, the African History Multimedia Library. It is now 7 terabytes of African enlightenment. I got 4.5. So you know I'm down 2.5. So I got to get some more terabytes of African enlightenment. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, right next to the kiosk of We Buy Black. So if you're at We Buy Black, you look around, bam, there it is. Just turn around. Or you might be facing it. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. They have everything. They got books, postcards, greeting cards, certificates, T-shirts. You got it. They got it. Figurines. 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. And they're open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 9 and Sunday from 12 to 6 in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore that I always promote, and that is my good brother, Gazimde Ajamu, Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. The number to call is 404-519-8107. If he doesn't have the book that you're looking for, he'll get it. They have the red, black, and green shoes and the gas shoes. They have T-shirts. They have all kinds of good stuff at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Brothers and sisters, there truly is light in the Black Dot. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Us Lifting Us. Ulu, the Thursday night broadcast, tomorrow night's broadcast is at 9 p.m. And the number to call to either join the broadcast, or just to listen is 929-477-2789. Once again, 929-477-2789, the Thursday night broadcast of us, Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Akabin Institute. Oh, I don't know why I keep doing that. Let me go to Renoko right quick before I go to Baba Barudi. Renoko Rashidi, my good brother and friend, is going to, and believe me, this is a good trip. If you're in a listening audience and you truly want to go to Africa, you have a great opportunity to visit three countries: Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. January 21st to February 4th, 2020. Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. In fact, a special treat for the trip is they have gained permission to visit the radiocarbonation laboratory established by the great historian and scholar, Dr. Cheikh Anta Diop, in there in Senegal. The trip is $3,856, sharing a room. But if you want a room by yourself, you can just pay additional $680 and you have a room by yourself, you know, for the duration of the three trips. I mean, man, that's a hell of an itinerary. You're talking about going to Senegal. You know you're going to visit Goree Island, okay? You know you're going to visit a lot of other things. I just told you about, you're going to go to the radiocarbonation lab at the university, you know? Then, of course, you're going to be in Gambia. Jafare, welcome to Jafare. Gambibilongo River, you know, Kunta Kinte. So I'm going to tell you, you can't beat it. And then, of course, Guinea-Bissau, great food and so forth. It's going to be a great trip, I tell you. So check that out. If you want information, what is Renoko's phone number? Well, go online, Dr. Renoko. Just go to drrenoko.com, drrenoko.com, and you'll be on the website and you get the information, all them things that you need. He's, of course, he is in Africa. He is in Kemet. I think it's Kemet in Ethiopia, I think, or Sudan, one or the other. So he's in Africa right now. But once again, this is the first trip of the new year of 2020, January 21st to February 4th, 2020. Akabin Institute, brothers and sisters, I'm going to talk once again about the importance of educating our children, and this is what Baba Barudi has been doing for years. Akabin Institute here in Atlanta. Make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you want to pay by PayPal or Cash App, go to those apps and put in the dollar sign, YYAA, the letter M, then Barudi, BARUTI, and make your contribution to Akabin Institute to help our children. Also, too, Sister Yah has a sister circle Sunday, this Sunday coming up from 5 to 7. You can contact Sister Yah at YahBarudi at Yahoo to get the details. It's a $10 registration fee through Eventbrite. The subject is motherhood. And then, of course, there is Kubuka, remembering the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors. I've been to this ceremony, I think about three times, has it each year. And it's a deep ceremony because it's experiencing, trying to help us understand and experience what our ancestors felt. We can say it all we want, but it's deep. It's going to be November 16th from 5 to 9. It's going to be located at the Sweet Spot on Metropolitan Parkway. More details will be coming. So that's Kibuka. Sanjay Jass Haidi, and I pulled up the website because I wanted to look at it and look at all these children. Sister Gabby has made a tremendous impact. Sanjay-Haiti.org. They deal with three things: education, economic development, and health promotion. The school has over 200 students. the Sanjay Ahiti Economic Development Program, including the CLM Path to Better Life program. You know, I mean, dealing with goats and chickens, passing the gifts with goats and chickens, a community restaurant, and, you know, all kinds of good stuff, a bakery. And then health promotion has several programs that promote and teach individual health, including, you know, nutrition clinics, educational campaigns for family planning. Of course, cholera prevention, hygiene, sanitation, HIV and AIDS. I mean, just a phenomenal job. These children are so beautiful. So go to sanjay-haiti.org. Sister Gabby, Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E-Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Black Talk Radio. Black Talk Radio Media Project. Go to blacktalkradionetwork.com and just scroll down a little bit. Look on the right side, and there it is. You can donate to the Black Talk Radio Media Project Fund. Black Talk Radio Network is the number one American African podcast in this country, and we are happy, and I know I am, to be a part of that family. Black Talk Radio Network Media Fund. Check them out. More importantly, donate. Donate, brothers and sisters. You know, go in your pocket. Do a little something, something. Because believe me, we need it. We do. We truly do. We need it. Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesem. Yesterday, October 22nd. You got these young brothers out there that's thinking that they're getting something that they're going to make a living with, but they're killing themselves, just like the wolf was licking the blade, and they're slowly dying without knowing. Omele Yashintele. At the youngest age possible, our children must be prepared to rebuild their world from scratch if necessary. It is not a matter of wasting time reinventing the wheel. The wheel was old before those who accused us of reinventing it had come out of their caves. We could not reinvent what has already been invented, what is already ours. Therefore, it is simply a matter of our children developing their minds so they will be able to think and build as their ancestors. This curiosity must not be lost to anti-African educational institutions or crash conspicuous consumerism. If the purpose of our children's education is no more than to get a job so they can continue building others' empires while fighting each other over some temporarily discarded loose change, then it is absolutely counterproductive for us. Worse, it is treasonous and genocidal, because in the Caucasian's extremist world, capitalism gain, their gain is our loss. If mental work cannot be connected to the care and cultivation of land and other resources, and if physical work cannot be connected to the arts and scientists, the two cannot become our revolutionary force. And if both of these cannot be inexplicably connected to spirit, they cannot transform a people or empower them within their traditions. Affirm, I believe in power of conscious education. Affirm, I believe in the power of conscious education. Education. October 23rd. October 23rd, before I read the Inye Sesem. No, I'm going to read it, then I'll go back to it. October 23rd. Two-thirds of American Negroes would be no help to anyone, anywhere. Bishop Henry McNeil Turner. There's a quote by Bishop Henry McNeil Turner that I love. He's talking about that God has got to be black. He says, God is black. God's got to be black. Because if God is a white man, there is no hope. That's deep, ain't it? Because he's true. Obviously, as a people, we are not prepared to engage Urugo in battle. Our decisiveness with each other, the openness toward each other, our openness toward other people who are against us are two of the most critical factors exposing our unpreparedness. Lack of trust and rampant our historical ignorance feed this inability to see the world that opposes us has unquestionable against us. We seem unable to visualize ourselves as a people already armed with the might to crush our destroyers and give us the fair chance to develop ourselves into a conscious, self-defining nation. We must address why this is so. We must be brave enough to ask ourselves why we allow confusion to reign and destruction to flourish. Because of the too common disconnection between African mind and spirit, it is not surprising that so many of our potential warriors cannot see that a battle exists. Therefore, it would be impossible for them to find their rightful place on the battlefield. Although the minds enables an awareness of the assault, it is the spirit that provides the will to correct the wrong. Without knowing and will, muscle mass atrophies or becomes distorted. Atrophies. Muscle mass atrophies. And this had always been a tough word for me. Atrophy. You know what I mean. You don't use your muscles and it is like weak. Awareness. Although the mind enables an awareness of the assault, it is the spirit that provides that will be correct wrong. Without knowing and will, muscles mass atrophies or becomes distorted, while its strength and stamina, when used, become misdirected toward glamour and other voluntary forms of submissive self-pacification. Affirm, I recognize that we are at war. Affirm, I recognize that we are at war. We have been warred upon, and a lot of us don't know what the hell is going on. We really don't. We really don't. We don't know what's going on. Yes, today, October 23rd, is my grandson Zion's birthday. He's 12 years old today. I'm wishing my grandson a happy birthday, just like my other grandsons whose birthday was back in July 19th. I have two grandsons I'm very proud of, and they're trying their best to, although they're in the same trap as a lot of our kids are, they want a ball, you know. So my grandson made the varsity. I'm proud of him. I knew he would. He's pretty talented, you know, and his head is on right. They're both doing okay in school. I said okay. I didn't say they're doing great, but they're doing well. They're doing well, you know. They're not behind, you know. Obviously, many of our people always like to focus in on, but hey, they go to public schools. Yeah, they're not going to the schools that I'm going to talk about that we need. There are very few of them, and we need more. We need more schools like what Bubba Baruti is doing, many more. And even the ones that are, I would hope that the administration is not so much dealing with the state and what the state says it needs, you know, but I would hope that they would understand the need to infuse whatever curriculum that the state, the Department of Public Works imposes, with some knowledge of who we are historically. Once again, this is the part two of education for what? You know, like I said, that was a National Black United Front. We put that out there at a conference we had many years ago, education for what? You know, and Brother Conrad World. So I'm going to take on, once again, an article that Brother Conrad World wrote in the Chicago Crusader. And this was not too long ago, earlier this month, 2019. Teaching the truth and reparations. The movement to implement an appropriate African-centered curriculum in predominantly African inner city schools is critical to the ongoing struggle for the liberation of African people in this country. We must continue to demand that the truth be taught as we continue to struggle to build the reparations movement here in America. The movement has now become popularly known as the African-Centered Education Movement. Simply stated, it focuses on teaching the truth concerning the contributions of African people to the development of civilization in all subjects. We must heighten the dialogue concerning the importance of this movement, particularly as it relates to the question of reparations. throughout the country, American Africans are now becoming more sensitive to challenging the racist, sexist, xenophobic, and all that stuff of European Caucasian extremism, the basis of the African public school curriculum. Through the work of the National Black United Front, NBUF, and its World African-Centered Education Plan, and the work of other African-centered organizations, more Africans in America are beginning to see the need for massive curriculum change in the public schools of this country, and the youth must take leadership in this project. There is not a day that goes by that someone does not call my office seeking information and help on how to start the process of changing the curriculum in their school. Parents are becoming more and more dissatisfied with their children are being taught. And they are also beginning to realize how much isn't being taught. It is clear that public school system is the place where American African children receive a significant portion of their view of the world and the history of the world. And it is also a place where large numbers of American African youth are miseducated under the system of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege through the ideas and interpretations of history that is presented to them. Let's turn to Dr. Carter G. Woodson, Dr. Carter Godwin Woodson, in his great book, The Miseducation, the 1933. In 1933, he wrote The Miseducation of the Negro, which is just as germane today as it was when he wrote it in 1933. To get some further insights into this problem, Woodson observed the so-called modern education, with all its defects, however, does others so much more good than it does the Negro, because it has been worked out in conformity to the needs of those who have enslaved and oppressed weaker people. For example, Woodson says, the philosophies and ethics resulting from our educational system have justified our captivity, peonage, segregation, and lynching. The oppressor has the right to exploit, to handicap, and to kill the oppressed. Continuing on, Woodson explained that no systematic effort toward change has been possible for taught the same economic history, philosophy, literature, and religion which have established the present code of morals. The Negro's mind has been taught under the control of his oppressor. Concluding on this point, Woodson states, the problem of holding the Negro down, therefore, is easily solved. When you control a man's thinking, you do not have to worry about his actions. That is a great quote of Carter G. Woodson. When you control a man's thinking, you don't have to worry about his actions. If you tell him to go yonder, he'll go. If you tell him to do this, if you keep sending him to the back door, and when there is no back door, he'll demand one because of his conditioning, his training has led him so. Therefore, it is inspiring to see so many of our people waking up all over America and seeking the truth concerning the real contributions of African people to the world. Through study groups, conferences, Black Talk Radio, hey, information networks, exchanges, American Africans are coming into a new African consciousness that seeks to reclaim the African mind and spirit. Through the Portland model, this is the Portland model baseline essays that Dr. A.C. Hilliard and many other scholars was initiated. That's why they call it Portland, in Portland, Oregon, which is ironic because how Oregon is. But it is initiated through that effort. And I even had a copy of it somewhere in the archives of Oshie. But yeah, the Portland baseline essays. The work of the Kemetic Institute in Chicago, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, ASCAC. ASCAC and other writings and curriculum materials, Africans are becoming more and more aware of the following points that must be incorporated into that curriculum. Here are 10 points. One, Africa is home of early man. Africa is the cradle of modern man. Three, Africa is the cradle of civilization. Four, Africa once held a position as world teacher, including the teacher of the Western world. Five, there was and there still is a continental wide unity in Africa and the African communities around the world. Six, the first time Africans left the continent was not as captives in ships. Seven, African and African people all over the world have been under siege for nearly 2,000 years and only recently by European colonization and captivity. Eight, there is an African diaspora all over the world today. Nine, African people has resisted domination on the continent and all over the world. We resist, we fight. Number 10, even under captivity, colonization, segregation, apartheid, African people have made monumental contributions to art, sciences, and politics. These 10 points and others have become the basis upon which we can judge the Caucasian extremist public school curriculums, content in textbooks and other learning materials. In other words, these points have become the basis of determining whether the truth is being taught in schools of this country. In seeking the truth about the reparations movement, join an organization that is working on this great, just, and mighty issue. The truth will set us free. Brother Conrad Royal, Dr. Conrad World, Professor Emeritus at the Carruthers Center for Inner City Studies in Chicago. You know, I think that what is important for us is to clearly understand that the educational process that we have been experiencing, and I've been saying this and reading on some of these things, you know, they even had it when just read the NYA say some, because Baba Baruti, of course, is an educator, and I'm quite sure some of the quotes of the 365 that he has in the Daily Revolutionary Thought deal a lot of times with education. If we are to get ourselves up out of this madness, we must educate ourselves. Yes, the majority of our people are in the public school system. I understand. And I would love for us to develop an African, American African or African school system nationally. Hell, no, internationally, where we're teaching our people on the continent, anywhere else where we are in mass, who we are, what we are and what we're about, and for us to take our place as leaders in this world and not as the pawns that we have become, to take our place on the continent specifically, because it is on the continent that we truly can say, hey, this is ours, and we are reclaiming, we are recapturing, we are restoring what was ours, and for our benefit, for our future. Everybody else, all contracts, all connections, everything is suspended. I like to see it suspended for 10 years while we get it together. 10 years while we teach our people how to build roads, how to build hospitals, schools, ports, train tracks, highways, superhighways, develop energy systems, internet systems. There's so much that we need. And the problem is our mind. If our mind was right, and we had the understanding of no matter who we are African people. And if African people come together, it's over for all the ignorance, stupidity, distrust, jealousy, envy. It's over for all of those things. It's over for the Caucasian, the Chinese, the Arabs, the Koreans, whoever else, is over. everywhere we are in our disbursement in the diaspora, we're saying, come home. If you're somewhere where you're being mistreated and you're somewhere where your life could be at danger, could be a threat, come home. Let's, you know, I wear this hat and make Africa home again. And I know people see it sometimes and take another look because taking off of the Trump's make America great again, of course, it's never been great. But Africa was our home. So let's make Africa home again. I had red hat with black lettering as opposed to the red hat with white lettering. I did that specifically. Make Africa home again. I seen Brother Kamara with the Saints, running back for the Saints. He said he had one on last year. You know, that's great. I love it. Now I have a deeper respect for I love the professional sports athletes who are somewhat conscious or who are conscious, who are doing things like Beast Mode. Love Beast Mode and the work he's doing. Love him. African-centered. I love any basketball player, football player, baseball, whatever the sport. And they're confident, they're not scared, and they're willing to try to help our people and use the resources that they have to help. I love them. I appreciate them. We need so many more. But we can come home. Make Africa home again. And for those athletes that have the money and we got a program, fund it. Fund it. You know, I appreciate the brothers that made schools such as LeBron and Jalen Rose and so forth. You know, these schools, of course, are under the direction of the Department of Public Instructions in their state, you know. But I would love to see a brother make some things, say, hey, this may be under the Department of Public Instruction, but we have additional information that we want to provide for our students and for their families. And we need to do this on the continent and everywhere else. I mean, it's 2019 by the European calendar. 2019. By the Kemetic calendar, it's the year 6,200. Is it 6,259 or 6,249? I don't know. I have to look it up. By the Kemetic calendar, oldest calendar in the world. Every calendar is based off that. The calendar. We created. We created everything. I mean, let's be real. No, we didn't create everything. But there's a base of a lot of things that have been done that, of course, you know, we have done. We are the ones that help make that happen. Yeah. Five benefits of African-centered education. This is the Atlanta Black Star. You know, I should take a lot of stuff out of Atlanta Black Star. Not too much lately. There's so much stuff out here, brothers and sisters. I get stuff over the internet, off of Facebook. There's so much. And let me just say this. I don't believe everything that people write, say, you know. But if I read it and it sounds good to me, if I have a good knowledge of it, I'll send it to you. I'll talk about it. It'll be a point of topic on this program. I mean, I could go for days. I know I'm only here every 3 days a week, although I will not be here this Friday. I got to go to Oklahoma City for a retreat. For that training program I go to every year at Dillard University in New Orleans, the Executive Development Institute, to give my little perspective on what's happening and how to make it better. And also, too, to talk about sending a delegation of us to Africa, to Ghana, and to help with helping to give information and training to the Ghanaian Fire Service. So that's this week, but I will definitely, hopefully, you know, by the will of God, and shall Allah, that I will be here on Monday to continue on. Develop cultural, African cultural consciousness. One effect of captivity of African people has been the distortion of their culture consciousness. Preeminent educator and author Dr. Amos Wilson argues that when a people's culture is distorted, their capacity to approximately organize, evaluate, and classify information to deal with reality is impaired. He further argues that culture must be used as a conduit for solving problems and meeting the needs of the people. African-centered scholars and educators argue that children of African descent must be taught their culture through a process of re-Africanization. This process begins with an African-centered education that entails studying, observing, and eventually fully participating in their culture that defines, creates, celebrates, sustains, and develops them. Brothers and sisters, it is culture. There is no such thing as race. Race is a human construct. It is not real biologically. It is real in terms of how the European has used race as a divisive measure of humanity, with them giving themselves the top position, everybody else a lower position, with us as African people at the lowest position, which damn near everybody on the planet recognize. It is no such thing as race. The human race. There's only one race, the human race, of which African people are the first people. Race. No, no such thing. There are cultures. Cultures. And the European has imposed his culture on us. It is not integration. Once again, because integration means that you have what you have, I have what I have, and we bring it together to taking the good of what you have, the good of what I have, and we move forward. That's integration. European does not integrate. He makes you assimilate. He makes you accept who and what he is. No, it's not integration. It's assimilation. And because what you have is based upon his mindset is inferior. It's no good. It's out. It's nothing. What you have is nothing. Excuse me. Creates African self-identity, African-centered education, the benefits of African-centered education. It creates a African self-identity. During the transatlantic captivity, the so-called slave trade, you know, if you listen to this program for the first time, you know I don't use the word slave because we were not slaves. We were captives. And what a captive wants to do is get free. He wants to get free. So we were captives. We always resisted. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We've never submitted. We always fought. And if you understand and recognize what happens in society, they constantly push this slave narrative. If you constantly hear this slave narrative, then you will believe we were slaves. In fact, it has been impressed upon us and the world, that when the world hears the word slave, they automatically put our face on it. We were slaves. It's just like ancient Kemet, how they co-opted ancient Kemet. With the movies, even though Dr. Sheikh Anjou Diop proved at that symposium in 1974 in Cairo, in Egypt, He, along with Dr. Thelophilia Obinga, who is a linguistic, they argue persuasively and they won the debate. But yet still today, because the European suffers from cognitive dissonance, he believes that he is superior and anything else you bring to him to prove otherwise, and there's a plethora of information to prove otherwise, he dismisses it, he ignores it. So that's why today you still have Europeans and you still have even people in Egypt who argue that it was not African. Now, I seen a piece on Facebook the other day, and somebody said it was not true.
This call is being recorded.
Said it's not true, and this piece had this person who lives in what is Egypt today vividly going off, and they had subtitles, and so they had they had subtitles, and that they were talking about American Africans coming over and to reclaim the land, and not necessarily physically, but you understand what I'm saying, to reclaim the history of that land as African, not as Arab, not as any, it's African. Jop proved that. He said, I can prove to you that the ancient Kemetic people were African people. He had 10 methods. But to me, the smoking gun was the melanin dosage test, where you can extract the melanin from the mummies to determine how much melanin the person had. Proving. And Dr. Thelophilia Obinga proved linguistically the tie. Language-wise, a tie. In fact, I just seen a piece the other day that Africa is the birth of language, of course. They said that there's a tie between all humanity at a one single language, and that when human beings began to migrate in other places, the utilizing the fact that there's at the very root is an African language, whether you speak Mandarin, whether you speak Yiddish, whether you speak the bastardized American English or European English. But just as Paul said, we speak English. We don't speak American. We speak English. So they did that. It was proven. But yet and still, even though that happened in 1974, yet and still to this very day, when you watch the National Geographic, the Learning Channel, PBS, Discovery Channel, whatever the hell you watch, and they do a dramatization or an illustration of ancient Kemet, the people gonna look white. But if you show somebody serving somebody, they gonna look dark. Because what they want to do is to consistently and further put into our minds that we ain't never been nothing but a slave, never been nothing but a servant, and nothing could be furthest from the truth. Brothers and sisters, we're gonna take a break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue on with these five benefits for African-centered education. The next one is self-identity. And we'll further on and more information. And you can join this conversation at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832 right here. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
sister coming up the walkway dressed down in a braid. Brothers with their afros taking center stage. Watching as this culture slowly comes of age. With a mind of its own, yeah. Mothers out in the yard hanging up her clothes. Fathers playing with the kids, keeping them on the go. Neighborhoods feeding on the heart of its soul. And that's where my feelings live. 'Cause I love my people. The way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Said I love. From the stove, straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. And I'm loving my people. Teachers off in the classroom giving up the love. Supported by that mom and dad who want that special touch. Little acts of kindness prove to mean so much. When we give what we know. Kitchen pots are banging, smell of soul food fills the air. You walk past the neighbor's house wishing you had dinner there. Better times for living when people seem to care about that place where they grow. That's why I love my people. The way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Said I love my people. I love. So from the stove, straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. I'm loving my people. Folks gather at the church on a Sunday morn. Openly they sing and praise and gospel music's born. God gave us love enough with spirits free to run. Why can't we learn to love ourselves like we're the chosen ones? Come and let me know how your life is doing good. Tell me how the blessings flow through the neighborhood. Share with me that time of feelings understood. In that place we call home. 'Cause I love my people. The way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. Loving my people, so that I'm loving mine.
I love.
So from the stove, straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. And I'm loving my people.
it's down to them.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programmings that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. This program, African Perspectives, immediately following African Perspectives on Monday and Wednesday is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. On Monday evenings, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, followed by Let's Buy Black 365. And then after that, it is Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, this evening, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. And Friday, if it is Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, yes, right, brothers and sisters, it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it is Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m. to 10, or thereabouts, is Time for an Awakening once again. And every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern, it is the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. The number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. This subject of education, of how important it is. And many of people will, you know, say, yes, I agree. We should control everything. We should control the finances in our community, the business, everything. But we don't. And the reason we don't, because the educational process, an African-centered educational process, contained in that is the understanding and the commitment to being collective, to being together. to being cooperative. That's essential. That is the African way. The European way, of course, is that is about you as an individual. The individual is prized. Individualism is a European Caucasian desire, but collectivism is an African imperative. It is a must. And you know, I don't know what you're reading. Well, obviously, I'm reading the stuff that leads me into that direction. But I'll say this. It must be done. During the trade that took place between America, Europe, and the Caribbean, millions of African people were sold into captivity. Over the course of 400 years, African people's identity has been distorted as they were stripped of their original language, their names, and spirituality. In addition, African people on the continent experienced a different kind of identity crisis through colonization. But it was all the same thing. The imposition of European culture on African people, which divided Africa into colonies and imposed foreign languages and cultural values. African-centered scholars and educators attempted to provide a framework for the reconstruction of African culture and identities around the best morals, values, cultural practices, and both traditional and contemporary African societies had to offer. It is there. Is still there for us. Produces African institution builders. An institution is defined as any structure or mechanism of social order governing the behavior. An institution is defined as any structure or mechanism of social order governing the behavior of a set of individuals within that community and are identified with social purpose, transcending individuals and intentions of mediating the rules that govern daily living, the living environment. That's what an institution is. An institution is defined as any structure or mechanism of social order that is governing the behavior of a set of individuals within a given community and are identified with social purpose, transcending individuals. I repeat, transcending individuals and intentions by mediating the rules that govern living behavior. In the state of African education, renowned educator and author Dr. H.D. Hilliard writes, a global system of power distribution has dictated and continues to dictate the nature of education and the socialization process. African-centered educators maintain that there can be no true African-centered education until people of African descent control the institutions within their community. Institution building involves creating the necessary agencies that are designed to impact knowledge, skills, values, and attitudes necessary to survive and progress. As you can see, within our community, those who say they escaped, I escaped that bad environment, not understanding what you're escaping from. And escaping from and into are the people that had created that environment. Man, I tell you. Produces African nation builders. Along with culture and identity, education must help restore the concept of nationhood, manhood, and womanhood for African people, according to historian and educator Dr. John Henry Clark. African-centered educators believe that wherever African people happen in this world, they constitute a nation or a nation that is within a nation, and that concept is called African nationalism. Dr. Kemet Shockley states in culture, power, and education, the philosophies and pedagogy of African-centered educators. African nationalism requires that African people develop a sense of agency toward fixing the problems within their own communities. Agency eventually leads toward nation building. Agency and nation building involve the intentional and focused attempt to develop African youth to be specifically trained to further develop and administer the state that is control of the community. American Africans cannot learn to administer the state if they are not equipped with attitudes that teach them that they, in fact, should administer, be agents for African upliftment. They should be the agents for African upliftment. They should be the model. Empowers African students. Professor and author Dr. Wade Nobles. Let me just say this before I continue to read Wade Nobles, because I know if you ever heard this program, you know I use Wade Nobles' definitive definition of power. You know, because we're talking about we should have the power to do this. I would venture to say yes, and power is the ability to define reality. And I believe that we should define reality and shape it and fashion it in our own image and interest. I do not believe that we can do that here. I do not believe that we can exercise the power, define this reality for ourselves in an environment where it is very designed is to denigrate and demean and degrade and ultimately eliminate us. That is the bottom line. Professor and author Dr. Wade Nobles states in Mahabudi and Mahabuti that an African-centered curriculum appropriately connects the African experience to the African cultural worldview and value system. This connection facilitates a healthy context from which American Africans can learn about and understand themselves and the world. A 2012 study published in the Journal of Child Development found cultural pride to be the most powerful factor in protecting children from the sting of discriminatory behavior. It directly and positively related to 3 out of 4 academic outcomes, grade point average, educational aspirations, and cognitive engagement, and was also related to resilience in the face of discrimination. Those 5 things are the benefit of an African-centered education. Those 5 things we must understand that we must have a part in. We have a caller, 602. Good afternoon, 602. Good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshi, good afternoon.
Hey, Brother Marcus, how are you, my brother? How are you today?
It's always an inspiration to hear you, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate
In the North House. It's always, you know, it's good to have a sane voice.
Yes.
Because, my brother, this is a very depressing society.
Yes, yes, it is.
But, but you are so correct. You know, we have to have an African-centered education. But we know that this system and the systems around the world, even with these black governments, they are not going to do it. So we are going to have to find creative ways to deliver that information to our children. So there is a brother in Jamaica. Well, we have a little thing where we're going to get some these junk drives, and distribute the information to different people in Jamaica. You know?
That's great. Yeah.
Keep it out to our people, because as you said, without the history, without the true history to inspire us, you know, give us value, to build value in our children, you know, we ain't going to go nowhere.
No. So no, we're not.
That's how we are going to, you know, because we can't depend on the government. You know, government, they are a part and parcel of the problem.
Right.
You see, they are a part of the problem. So we said, look, you know what, let's buy up, get a lot of these drives on it. Put the information on it and just give it out, just give it away to our people, you know, so they can give it to mothers, give it to libraries, give it to fathers, you know, give it to people who want this information. Because we have to do it, brother. If we don't do it, we'll be finished.
That's right. I mean, Brother Marcus, you are correct. If we don't do it, it's either Pan-Africanism, African-centered education, or we're going to perish.
Yes,
Bottom line.
That will give us the psychology to correct the problem, because we have a serious psychological problem. So, you know, keep on keeping on, my brother. As I said, it's always an inspiration to hear a sane voice in the wilderness. The wilderness, brother.
I hear you, man. Well,
thank you so much.
Yeah, well, I'm dedicated. I'm committed. This is what I feel my contribution to our people is all about, is to provide information. I wish I had the resources to physically say, hey, I got resources here, let's do this, but I don't. You know, I would love to win the lottery, you know, and all that money. Not that I would be happy and want to build a house, live by car, buy these cars. No, hell no. I would say, hey, let's pull our money. You got some serious money. Let's pull it together. Brothers on the continent, let's build educational institutions for our people. And after we do that, let's reclaim our land. Let's reclaim our resources. Let us prepare to be African people who are independent and self-determining and sovereign in the furtherance of the 21st century, going into the 22nd century, so to speak, long after me and you are gone. But what we had done is laid a foundation for the continuance of African people and our history and our culture. And our culture.
Good,
I hear you.
Keep on keeping on.
All right, Brother Marcus. You know it, man.
Thank you.
Take care. You have a good one. Peace to you. I love when Brother Marcus calls. He's a good brother, you know. Too many African-centered schools are underfunded and neglected. Why saving these schools should be a priority for African people. The value of African-centered education is being highlighted in Chicago, where an African-centered school is struggling, leading that city's public school system to recommend its closure. This comes at a time when schools in our community are woefully underfunded, and so many educational institutions fail to provide African children with a roadmap for success. Well, number one, I don't want this system to divide a roadmap just to the success of individuals, because they could see at that. And I used to say this when I did this work in school, because I went to some poorly academic schools as compared to some suburban schools and even the one high school in Milwaukee that competes on a national level that is in, I don't know what top they are in terms of academic as a public school. I attended there when I was going to school, but of course the riots happened and the Caucasians who were there, they, you know, it was a mass exodus of Caucasians out of there at the time. And then the school became way predominantly us. And it was 70% us when I attended, you know, but then it became 90 something high, you know. And then there was a change. They made it a school that was, a quote, a magnet school. So it's a public school where people from wherever want to go to because of the offerings. And they made it to a school, a baccalaureate school, and that school was like a private school. The parents pay a lot of money in extracurriculars. They got band, they got orchestra, they go to they got exchange programs, they send their kids to Europe and so forth. I mean, you know, all of that. They compete. In fact, a couple of years they were the top academic, you know, when they had those educational bowls, you know, what they do in question. Yeah, the Rufus King High School. Rufus King was a general in the Civil War. who retired in Wisconsin. So when people talk about King, they're not talking about Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King in Milwaukee. They're talking about Rufus King. That's why their nickname, of course, is the Generals, Rufus King Generals. And so now it's one of the top academic schools, definitely in the state and in the country. And like I said, it is a public school, but they treat it like a public school. But understand, they're pumping out success for you as an individual. It's not African-centered. They don't talk. It is the same damn curriculum that handcuffs us as a people. And yes, you can go through Rufus King and do quite well, be up in the upper percentile in grade point average and attendance and achievement and all this other stuff. And you can go on to a college, university, or whatever. That's you. That's you. It ain't us. I made it out. I got mine. You know, shoot, if you didn't get yours, that's your fault. Because I'm doing me. These institutions may be cultivated and sustained throughout the country as they give American African children the cultural grounding, self-esteem, and sense of identity necessary to help them understand their place in the world and to thrive in that world collectively. Collectively. As the New York Times recently reported, Dr. Barbara Sizemore Academy, an African-centered K-8 charter school is experiencing challenges these days. Supporters of closure point to test scores. The school's 3rd through 8th grade scores in the 14th percentile in reading and 8th in percentile in math. However, those who appreciate the mission of Sizemore School, by Dr. Barbara Sizemore School, point to its accomplishments of instilling confidence in a psychologically battered population facing daily struggles of poverty and crime. They would argue that success is measured by more than simple test scores, Ashe. It is a society that has learned to teach for the test, and that's what it does. That's what it did here. That's what those sisters and brothers, when I first moved here about 5 years ago, because prior to that, they got busted teaching for the test. And some teachers not only lost their jobs, some of those teachers went to jail. And the sister who was responsible, unfortunately, she died. She died of cancer while this whole thing was going on. Mm. In a society that has learned to teach for the test, and yet students are not learning, and where what American African students learn can ultimately benefit Caucasians at the expense of African self-empowerment. When you talk about children who are suffering from all of the ills of, you know, the residue effects of captivity, Daniel Robinson, principal of Sizemore, said to the New York Times, absolutely, this is where they need to be. I agree. They need to be in an African-centered school. That school needs to be supported, and that curriculum needs to be infused with the knowledge of self. The school is reflective of what takes place in other African-centered schools, with the achievements of African people at the center part of the curriculum, students addressing teachers by titles, and the use of suspensions only as a last resort. Further, students are greeted with sounds of African drums and raise their fists to the red, black, and green flag. Right on. They learn about the red, black, and green Pan-African flag. We are African people, they say in harmony, emphasizing that they stress the development of our bodies, minds, souls, and consciousness, are committed to sustainable living, self-determination, and self-respect. However, such schools have faced dire straits due to the objections to black power by Caucasian elites, due to African power by Caucasian elites. And I'll say this because, at this stage and juncture of my life and our struggle as a people, we should not be afraid to say a damn thing. We should be and have the courage, because this is what time it is. Either we do it or we die. So Malefi Ketty Asante, the brother who coined the term Afrocentricity at Temple University and so forth. In Kansas City, Missouri, the brothers and sisters in Kansas City, Missouri, where the National Black United Front chapter is, one of the strongest chapters in the National Black United Front, they had a member on the Common Council. They had members on the school board. They were able to get a school that was closed. And this school area had, was a campus. They had a high school building, a middle school building, an elementary school building, and they had an administrative building. They had a sports, they had the football field and all that. I mean, just tremendous property. And I remember when brother was driving me around, you know, brother Samari was driving me around and he showed me, he said, man, look, I'm going to show you what we're going to get. And he drove me around. Oh, wow. I couldn't believe it. Then we had a meeting there at the school when they got it to prepare for the convention, the National Black United Front Convention, which was going to be held at the school. I mean, I couldn't have been, I know they were proud, but I couldn't have been more proud myself to see what was happening at that school. It was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. Ironically, let me do a little sidebar. When I went to KC for that meeting prior to the convention that we had, the meeting was January, February, somewhere around there. That is when the time that the so-called DC sniper killed Brother Ken Bridges, the Matai Network, a beautiful man, a good man. Oh, gosh. Anyway. So we had the meeting there at the school in Kansas City. I mean, buildings and parts of the school named after our ancestors. In fact, the auditorium was named after Dr. Asa Hilliard. I mean, just fantastic. And I saw the school functioning, even though they had some Caucasian teachers, you know, but they had to be in dashikis, and this was the curriculum they were going to be taught. Well, anyway, this Caucasian on the school board did not want this to happen. He contacted Malefi Keteyasante at Temple University. And they brought in this one lady. And then later they changed superintendents to this one dude. In fact, he was here for a minute in the DeKalb County School Board. When I found out about it, I wanted to find out what board meeting was so I can go bust him out. Tell him what they had, to tell the people what this man had done. But Malefi Keteyasante, when it had been done, when they took that school back from the brothers and sisters, at the time it was doing great things for our people, and now it's a failing school. Malefi Keteyasante came into Kansas City in the dark at night to collect a six-figure amount of money for what he was able to do. I got this from Brother Ajamu in Kansas City, who I believe his integrity is beyond reproach. A good brother, an intelligent brother, who is leading that direction for that school to happen. That's why, to me, if I anywhere, even though I was in Philadelphia, I should have went over to the temple and busted my big time. But if I'm serious, I'm serious. If Malefi Keteyasante is somewhere talking about our people, this, that, the other, I'm going to bust him out. I'm going to ask him, why did you do this? I mean, because there are many doctoral students from Temple who can't stand Malefi Keteyasante. If you want to contact ASCAC, contact ASCAC, the president, Mario Beatty, the vice president, Greg Kamathi Carr. Contact them. Ask them about Malefi Asante. Get me started. We are African people, they say in harmony, emphasizing that they stress the development of our bodies, minds, souls, and consciousness. and are committed to sustainable living, self-determination, and self-respect. However, such schools have faced dire straits due to objections to African power by Caucasian elites, the issue of standardized tests, the competition from large, well-to-do charter school networks. Sizemore is part of a network of three African-centered charter schools dating back to the 1970s, stemming from the efforts of Carol D. Lee, professor of education and social policy at Northwestern University, and her husband, Hakima Abudi, formerly known as Don L. Lee, the poet. So the other schools are Betty Shabazz Academy, also K-8, and the DuSabo, John Baptiste DuSabo Learning Academy, a high school. This is Chicago. The benefits of African-centered education are clear as it develops African-centered consciousness and a self-identity, produces African leaders and institution builders, and empowers children with a pride as a safeguard against extremism, against European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. Public schools have failed American African students, which is shown in lower graduation rates and low achievement, said Ms. Lee in a Florida Times Union report. African-centered schools have sprung from the belief that American African students living in a society with a history of racism and stereotypes need to form a socialization that provides them with societal buffers, she added, noting that graduates of such schools have gone on to prestigious universities. Let me say this. Give them that foundation, because once they have that foundation and now they have been equipped with knowledge of self, that is their armament. They could go to any school and succeed because they know who they are. They're not going there for acceptance. They're not going there so they can go along to get along, scratch when ain't nothing itching, or laugh when ain't nothing funny. They're going there with a purpose. They're not going there so some Caucasian will hire them or adopt them. They're going there with a purpose for African people. They all work very effectively in their professional lives because they assume the world is open to them. Our point simply is we can view the world through the perspective of the people of Africa. Africa is the mother of civilization. At Temple University, at Temple University, Professor Malefe Kete-Asante wrote in 1991 in Educational Leadership, many African children lack direction and confidence because they are not culturally empowered or centered in the classroom. It's hard for me to read this, knowing what he's done. And believe me, that information is there. I'm not just saying so, because I don't speak against our people unless it's legitimate. Because there has to come a time, just like when we talked about the Boule, there has to come a time we got to call out those of us who are doing some damaging things, who are doing some things to destroy African people, or to continue to help suppress and oppress African people. I would only do that if I knew for sure. I'm not going on rumor. I'm not going on hearsay. I talk to the people who have been directly affected, who actually know. So I'm not saying something that is not true. One of the principal aspects of empowerment is respect. Students are empowered when information is presented in such a way that it can walk out of the classroom feeling that they are part of the information, Malefe Kete-Asante said. Most teachers do not have to think about using the Caucasian class child's culture to empower the Caucasian child. The Caucasian child's language is the language of the classroom. Information that is being conveyed is European cultural information in most cases. Indeed, the curriculum in most schools is Caucasian self-esteem curriculum. Yes. Yes. I don't know. I don't know how you remember things. I don't have a clear memory because I wasn't a good student, number one. But what I do know is how everything was sanitized. When you talked about Christopher Columbus, you talked about Columbus in a glowing term. You didn't talk about Columbus in displacement and genocide and murder and thievery and all those kind. You talked about Columbus in a way. In fact, excuse me, even then you didn't talk about Columbus in terms of him not knowing the hell he was going. You talked about Columbus in a way that he thought that, hey, there's something out there. I'm an adventurer. I'm an explorer. There's something out there. And he goes out there and he finds the land, even though he finds people on the land. They don't talk about those people being erased, eliminated, killed, murdered, sabotaged, diseased. They don't talk about that. You get a sanitized version of Columbus and of Thanksgiving. They used to make us little hats, turkey hats and pilgrim hats. And how great it was, and how when the people were coming from Europe for religious freedom and all these other freedoms and all the things like that, a new land, gave you the impression. And understand, people outside of Europeans, other people are not xenophobic. That word is in the news because of what happened in South Africa. That's not xenophobic, okay, in South Africa. That's Afrophobic. Afrophobic. Because those are Africans coming to South Africa looking for work. And the reason why the European who gives the jobs still in South, because they still run it. The reason why the Africans from Nigeria and Kenya, maybe Kenya too, and Ghana, they have those skills where the South Africans don't have those skills. And I'm quite sure the Europeans sit back laughing because they ain't doing nothing to the Caucasians. It's other Africans. So it's not xenophobic. It's a fear of other people outside of yourself. We're the same people. It's Afrophobic, not xenophobic. But we were xenophilic. We were xenophilic. That means not a fear of people, but welcoming people. A lot of times people say to our detriment. As Dorothy Gillum reported in the Washington Post back in the 1990s, African-centered education is an attempt to correct and balance history, to which its opponents responded with alarm, criticizing as false history propagated by angry and militant black scholars. Angry and militant American African scholars. It's revisionist. No, European, your history is revisionist. You know, in a court of law, particularly in Europeans' court of law, when you put your hand on a Bible and you raise your right hand and you take the oath, I solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. I do. Okay. Now, everything you're supposed to say is supposed to be the truth. And if you found out that what you have said is not the truth, then you are stricken and everything you have said has been stricken. You are out. You're a plagiarist. You're plagiarized. You're a liar. You're a prevaricator. And what has happened is that Europeans are the great prevaricators. That's why, to me, I don't believe nothing they say. Okay, what the hell they do. An African Center teacher said poetry performer and former D.C. public school teacher, Abina Walker, is one who has internalized the value system that is based on cooperative learning, seeing discipline as loving, helping children develop self-control. Did you hear me? Did you hear what I just read? Let me repeat it again. Abina Walker is one of who has internalized the value system that is based on cooperative learning together, seeing discipline. See, I hate the society that constantly uses the word discipline when they mean punishment. Discipline is self-imposed order. Seeing discipline as a loving, helping children develop self-control, who can think and plan holistically, combining subjects through which projects and integrating the arts into these projects. Discipline. If you don't have discipline, if you're out of control, because that's what discipline is, self-imposed order. What do they call the studies? They call them what? Disciplines. When you're in college to try to get that degree, they're called they're not called punishments. No, discipline, because you have to have self-imposed order in you. You can't be up all the time playing bid-whist and going to all these parties. You got to deal with the rigors of study to go through that process and then ultimately get your certificate or your degree or whatever. Discipline. So when you lack discipline, the society poses order on you. And that's why they build prisons, because you don't have discipline. You're going to you're going to punish them. According to Walker, African-centered education is part of a movement that has influenced educational methodologies across the nation through such names as cooperative education, teaching and learning, holistic education, interdisciplinary education, and values education, or character building. Caucasian children tell me how terrible they are in the present system of reward and punishment and fragmented classes. All can benefit from African-centered methodology, which stresses that such benefits has logical consequences versus punishment, she added. In a society in which negative images of African people thrive, African children need a form of education that centers on the accomplishments of their own people and exists to evaluate them. To evaluate and to elevate them. They are at risk and must be supported if they're going to survive. And if the American African community is to thrive, and this means that nationwide schools such as Sizemore must receive financial backing they need to fulfill their important mission. Ashe. Yes, they do. They need that to fulfill the important mission of educating warriors. See, that's why Baba Baruti's school is even more deeper, because he's emphasizing the development of warriors, of brothers and sisters. Not just to see, because we could take a nice young man or young lady. They've been in the African-centered school system, and it is a public school that has an infusion. Let's say use that word, because I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I remember when they had these schools develop in Milwaukee, they called them like an emerge, you know. German immersion, French immersion, Spanish immersion, you know. So what it is, it's a school that kind of emphasizes these languages and maybe something cultural. Because in order to learn the language, you got to know about the culture, you know. And so we never develop an African, a true African immersion school. No. And if I'm wrong, rescue me if I'm wrong. I don't believe that we did. I could try to call somebody to find out, because I don't want to, you know, one thing I definitely don't want to do is throw out disinformation or misinformation. But if the school is African-centered, truly, it can deal with all the other stuff because the information will highlight and correct the distortions, the half-truths, or all-out lies, if it is truly African-centered. And then once that child, let's say that child has a benefit, even if it just goes up to the eighth grade, if that child is committed and serious, he or she will do well in the high school setting of whatever high school they go to because they have been rooted and grounded in knowledge of self. They know who they are. So even when there's information at the high school that talks about this, that, or the other, that child knows, I know what to give them in terms of what they're asking for. But I know this information, you know, I'm not even going to get into a discussion or debate. I know because I've been taught, I've been educated on their system and why it's important to develop our own system. So even though we don't have I don't have an African-centered high school to go to, but because I'm rooted and grounded in my knowledge of who I am and myself, and I'm culturally connected, I can go to that school and I'll do well. I can go to that school. I can wear my hair. I can wear dashikis. I can wear gay lays. I can do whatever I want. And I dare somebody to mess with me. Dare them. Because I've also been trained in arts. Also been trained in the arts of self-defense, which of course are painted on the walls in tombs in Kemet. No, it didn't start in China or in Japan or in the Southeast. It started with Africa and Africans, the foundation damn near of everything. So I'm very good. And I don't do this to bully nobody. I ain't about bullying somebody. I'm about protecting myself and my people. So if I see a young sister right there, and she's being harassed, I go help her. I go help him. If he doesn't have the skills or the ability to protect himself, I will protect him or her. I know who I am. So I'll go through this school for, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12th grade, and I'll graduate. I don't give a damn if I graduate with a being valedictorian. All that says to me. That's why when I go through Facebook and so forth and they talk about somebody achieving this, that, and the other, I don't even put no like on it. I just pass them by. I don't even put no love saying on it. I just pass them by. So damn what? Because all it is to me is proving what I already know. That if we are given the opportunity, we try, we thrive. If given the opportunity, we excel. We excel, we thrive. If there's no discrimination, there's no impediments, we will do fine. But that's that individual. I ain't talking about no damn individuals. I'm talking about what happens to us collectively. Because that's where it is for African people. That's what African-centered education provides. Helping you know this ain't about you. It is about us. It is about you in the sense that you are part of us. And it's about you in the sense that you are working towards helping better us, not just yourself. You just don't do this and get out and hope I get a job, that the Caucasian will give me a job and promote me. No. Oh, man, I'm out. Time flies when you're having fun. Got to be out of here in a few minutes. I'm going to try to make way for my good brother, Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix, and find out what he has on his mind today or what program he's going to talk about to help to free the African mind, because that's pretty much what his program is. It is the African mind. And that's what the Black People Matrix is about, helping you understand the attacks on our mind. And that's what African-centered education does. It shields you, protects you from the attacks on your African mind, helps to reinforce, to let you know who you are and what you have done. Because if you believe you've never done nothing, then you won't do anything. And we have been trained to believe we've never done nothing. When I was going to school, there was not a damn thing about being African in school. They shied away from the issue of enslavement of African people. They might have talked about when Lincoln freed the slaves. Freed the slaves. God, I hate that. You might have heard that. And that's about all you heard. And then from that sense alone, you should be very thankful. But there was never, the only two people I remember reading about and having any information of was Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver. Nobody that was a radical, nobody that like Frederick Douglass, who was being beaten and took the whip and started beating on the European. And why he had the new that I better get out of here because otherwise they're going to kill me. No, you didn't learn that. And you sure don't learn of Africans today who are revolutionaries. You don't learn those African people who propose some kind of solid changes for African people. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to get ready to get out of here and to make way for Brother Franklin Jones and the Black People Matrix, my good brother. Oh, okay. Okay. I appreciate you, brother. You're right. Malefi ain't about exactly. Yep. So must be somebody from Philadelphia. Appreciate that. Appreciate you, brother. You know I do. Yep. We in this program, like we in all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, it is always a pleasure. Once again, I will not be here on Friday. It'll be a previously recorded program. Hope you'll enjoy that. I definitely hope to be back here on Monday. Brothers and sisters, Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibivahodia. Bibivahodia means our victorious destiny. We will be victorious. Peace, family.